It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Lyon, France, where the first semifinal will be played Tuesday evening at the Women's World Cup Football Tournament. Kickoff is set for 1900 hours UTC GMT in Lyon, where England will go against the defending champion United States. England captain Lucy Bronze says she's well aware of the proud pedigree of the American women, but they're beatable.
I mean, I think they're a great team. They're the world number ones, and they are, you know, the holders of the World Cup. They'll always have a great team, but I think, you know, teams have started knocking on the door, getting closer and closer, and, you know, that kind of spurs other teams on to go, oh, maybe we can do that as well. Oh, why can't we challenge them? I think you saw, you know, maybe in the Spain game, it took a while for Spain to get in the game, and then they were like, no, okay, it's just the Americans, it's just another team.
The England team is hoping to reach the Women's World Cup final for the first time. The English women advanced to the semifinals with a 3-0 victory over Norway. Lucy Bronze scored England's third goal in that match. She talks about her team's development.
It's just we needed a few more years of playing and knowing that we having that belief and knowing that we were good enough. I think the last tournament we had a lot of talent. You know, we got through games, we played a different style of football, maybe because we didn't have that sort of belief because we hadn't beaten the best. You know, we hadn't beaten Germany, we hadn't beaten for France for God knows how long, we hadn't beaten the US, you know, so we didn't, if we was to face a top team, we didn't really know what we was going to come up against and how to really counteract that and if we were going to be able to go toe-to-toe, whereas now we've played in two semi-finals now, back-to-back. This is going to be our third. We play on a regular basis against the US, against France, against Germany. We match them in every game that we play against them. You know, they're always tight games. We know that we can beat them now. I think that's maybe the difference is now we know we can beat them and it can be done. And for us, I think that's going to be the difference this year.
That's defender Lucy Bronze, the captain of England's national women's football team. And Lucy spoke in Lyon, France, ahead of Tuesday evening's big Women's World Cup semifinal match against the United States. The American women are bidding for their fourth world title. They advanced to the semifinals with a 2-1 victory over host France in Paris. Megan Rapinoe had both goals for the USA in that match. Rapinoe and Alex Morgan have led the American attack in France, where they've each scored a tournament-leading 5 goals. England striker Ellen White also has 5 goals, as does the Australian Sam Kerr. The Netherlands will play Sweden on Wednesday evening in the second Women's World Cup semifinal, also in Lyon. And the final will be played in Lyon as well on July 7th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Cairo, where Algeria, Morocco, Senegal, and Ivory Coast all scored victories Monday at the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament, and all 4 teams are through to the round of 16 knockout stage. The Algerians top Group C with the maximum 9 points with a 3-0 victory over Tanzania. Islam Slimani opened the scoring for the Desert Foxes of Algeria in the 35th minute, and Adam Unas scored 2 goals before halftime. Morocco edged South Africa 1-0 on a late goal by Mbark Bassoufa. The Atlas Lions of Morocco top Group D with the maximum 9 points. Ivory Coast finished runners-up in Group D with 6 points after a 4-1 victory over Namibia. And Senegal reached the round of 16 after a 3-0 win over Kenya. Senegal's captain Sadio Mane scored twice including a penalty kick in the 78th minute. The Lions of Teranga from Senegal finished second behind Algeria in Group C with 6 points, and they'll next play Uganda on Friday. Meanwhile, the Taifa Stars of Tanzania lost all three of their matches in Group C, falling to Algeria, Kenya, and Senegal. The Tanzanians returned to the Nations Cup after a 39-year absence. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cairo, where he reached the technical director of the Tanzania Football Federation, Emmy Ninje.
Lack of experience shows on the every game we played. And then I think we suffer in the psychology aspect of the game. Because as you know, in psychology, you've got 5 C's, confidence. If you don't have a confidence, but I hope in tournament, we will progress. This tournament for us, it was for us to get an experience, go and learn the game in the highest level in AFCON. So I hope maybe if we qualify in 2-3 years' time, we'll be in a better position because we're going to have that experience.
Did the Taifa Stars learn some lessons?
Yes, you know, in football, you have to have a room of and willing to learn. We learn when you played at the highest level, you have to have a good standard of focus and commitment and concentration. So the concentration and focus, it's the key. So we need now to come back and evaluate where went right, where went wrong, and we put the action plan for area of improvements. So I hope in 2-3 weeks, we're going to come with a strategy, how to approach another big competition like that. But we've learned that when you're playing international levels like AFCON, you have to be ruthless. Ruthless on the way when you get opportunity, you use it. And then you have to have discipline approach when you don't have the ball. And then we, you know, that's a big thing, but we need now to concentrate and thinking when the team come back, we're going to have a full report and think what we can do for these new groups maybe of young players coming in and try to help them to become better players.
What will be the fate of the present squad, the present team that took part in AFCON? Are you going to make changes, or you are going to retain them, or you are going to have new faces?
Our squad is mixed with now. There's some players who've been with. Yeah, there's some players who've been in the national team for a while. I think probably this was their last card. But again, in Africa, sometimes people are playing football at the age of 39, 40. But the modern football, you need youth, energy, and tenacity. So we need to evaluate our squad and try maybe to give a lot of young players the opportunity to shine for the coming future. So the some maybe will be there, the some won't, but the time will tell.
Are you impressed with the handling of the team by Coach Emmanuel Amuneke?
He's done a fantastic job, you know. He's done a fantastic job because it wasn't easy, you know, as he transformed our football. As you know, that for 39 years, he came in and changed things. And always, when you change things, it means you have to change people's mentality. It takes time. So he done a very, very good job. And I hope we maybe take care of him and keep him here.
That's Emmy Ninje, the technical director of the Tanzania Football Federation. And Amy spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cairo, Egypt. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Wimbledon tennis news now on the VOA. Monday proved to be one of the wildest opening days in recent memory at the famous grass court tournament. Joining us now with a recap is VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Traditionally, the second Monday of Wimbledon is referred to as Manic Monday. But this year, it was the first Monday of the tournament that brought the mania. Earlier in the day, reigning Australian Open and US Open champion Naomi Osaka fell to the unheralded Yulia Putintseva in straight sets. Top eight men's players Stefanos Tsitsipas and Alexander Zverev were also bounced in the first round to unseeded foes. Zverev was critical of himself following his loss. Let's hear some of his post-match interview.
It was kind of a typical Grand Slam match for me. I started off well, and then one or two things don't go my well, and everything kind of a little bit falls apart. But yeah, I'm not very high on confidence right now when I get to the important moments. I mean, I had, what, 5-6 break points in the third set alone, in the fourth set alone. Can't take any of those. I had a love 40, I had a 15-40. You know, I'm down one break point myself, and he takes it immediately where I miss an easy volley. So I didn't lose this match on tennis. It's just, yeah, my confidence is below zero right now.
But despite the surprising upsets of Zverev, Tsitsipas, and Osaka, nothing could prepare tennis fans for what was about to happen later in the afternoon. Seven-time Grand Slam champion Venus Williams took the court in London against 15-year-old Coco Gauff, who had to fight through qualifying rounds just to make the main draw, and entered the match ranked only 313th in the world. Gauff shocked the entire sporting world by taking out Venus in straight sets. Her athleticism and powerful serve were impressive for any player, let alone one yet to see her 16th birthday. Making the win even more special for Gauff was the fact that she viewed Venus Williams and her sister Serena as role models growing up. Let's listen to what Gauff had to say following her dramatic upset victory.
Obviously, I'm super shocked, but I'm just super blessed that Wimbledon decided to give me the wild card. I mean, I never expected this to happen. Obviously, I literally got my dream draw, so I'm just super happy I was able to pull it out today. And she played amazing and was just super nice. And she's always been nice the couple times I met her.
With several of the top players going down, those who won were thankful to survive and advance. South African Kevin Anderson, who faced some doubts heading into Wimbledon due to some recent injury struggles, eased past Pierre Huizerbeer in straight sets. The defending men's champion Novak Djokovic also had a drama-free match, defeating Philipp Kohlschreiber in three sets. And top women Simona Halep and Karolina Pliskova advanced as well. Some updates from Tuesday's early action. Women's world number one and defending Roland Garros champion Ash Barty beat China's Tsai Tsai Zhang without much difficulty. Defending Wimbledon champ Angelique Kerber beat fellow German Tatiana Maria to move into the second round, and eight-time Wimbledon champion Roger Federer knocked off South African Lloyd George Harris despite losing the first set. And we already have another big upset. Men's fifth seed Dominic Thiem fell to experienced American Sam Querrey. I'm looking forward to seeing what other chaos unfolds today and throughout the rest of the tournament. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Ryan. That's VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a short break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Africa's women mountaineers are reaching new heights. In May, South African businesswoman Saray Khumalo became the first Black African woman to summit Mount Everest. Now, four other South Africans are preparing to become the first all-women African team to climb the world's tallest peak. Marisa de Klerk reports from Waterval-Boven, South Africa.
Is there a specific way to do this, or just through and through? But you have to do
and this specific one. Yeah, you got it right. That's it. Perfect.
Deshaun Daisel, Lisa Gehring, Tumi Mpahlele and Alda Waddell are training on the sandstone cliffs of South Africa's Drakensberg Mountains. They hope that next year they can become the first team of African women to conquer Mount Everest. The women are inspired by South African business executive Sara Kumalo, who in May became the first black African woman to climb the world's highest mountain, which stands 8,848 meters tall. Africa has few mountains to practice on, but Kumalo says that is not a problem.
What excites me even more is that those coming behind us, or behind me, effectively won't have to struggle as much as I have had. You know, even though we're not born in a place where there are mountains, there's ice and snow, and more so when the ladies go in next year, I think it's going to open up even more doors.
Each team member does their own intensive mental and physical training along with group sessions to prepare for the difficult climb. Alda Waddell explains.
There's different elements that you need to train for. It is the technical, the equipment that you need to understand. It is the physical that you need to be able to do. And then also the cold. You need to be able to manage the cold. And then lastly is the altitude.
The inside looks like a... Looks like a... Boxing boot.
The women have different levels of experience in mountaineering. In 1996, Deshaun Daisel became the first black South African woman to set foot on Mount Everest. While she wasn't able to reach the summit, she scaled mountains on five continents.
When I first started high altitude climbing, there were so few women in the mountains. If I look around now, especially in the South African climbing community, that number definitely increased. And because of that, we have a greater pool of women to choose from. So why not have an all-female team?
As South African businesswomen, the team sees parallels with running a business in a male-dominated world and climbing the world's tallest mountain. They want their attempt to scale Mount Everest to inspire more African women to reach for the top. Marise de Klerk for VOA News, Waterval-Boven, South Africa.
Thanks, Marise. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In African basketball, retired Colonel Sam Amadou has been re-elected president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. Colonel Amadou is a member of both the Nigeria Basketball Federation and the FIBA Africa Central Board. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Colonel Amadou said basketball continues to show good growth in the African zone.
Well, first, it is gratifying being the AG president, but as a president, there is a lot of responsibilities on you. Your job is to push and motivate those countries to ensure that they will develop the game in their countries in accordance with FIBA guidelines. And it is a challenging task. Why? Because the zone is not monolithic. It comprises of English and French countries. So marrying those two languages is a challenge. So you have to be able to speak French and be able to speak English.
Can you name these countries that you superintend as the president of FIBA Zone 3 Africa? And then what has been the awareness like as in the standard of the game in these countries?
Yeah, the countries in the zone are Nigeria, Benin, Togo, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Liberia. And in terms of awareness of the game, FIBA Zone 3 is rated one of the top zones in FIBA Africa, and because the awareness of the game is very, very high. You can see that out of the five teams representing Africa at the Men's World Cup, two are from this zone, namely Nigeria and Ivory Coast. For the teams participating in the Afro League, three teams from the zone played from the group stages, and while one went all the way to the Elite Eight, which is a plus for the zone. In terms of development, Nigeria, Benin, Ghana and all these countries run clinics, run camps. And the awareness of basketball is very, very high here because even at the world level, Zone 3 teams and individuals have done well. The general manager of the Toronto Raptors, who just won the NBA world title, is from Nigeria. And somebody that has been an integral part of our national team as a player and also as a coach. So he also cut his teeth from activities that he has also done in this zone. A lot of the players, we have many players in the NBA. We had about 32 Nigerian players who were willing, ready to drop their names for the draft. Eventually, 8 went into the draft, 3 were selected, and some pulled out. So the zone is very, 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 very strong.
The National Basketball Association of America has introduced the Basketball Africa League. Yeah. What effort is this zone making to be an integral part of that Basketball Africa League? We understand that the BAL will kick off early next year.
To put facts in proper perspective, the BAL technically will start in November this year with preliminaries in the zone. So those countries that are among the automatic 6 that have qualified, they will have to go and play preliminaries. So our zone will also hold a preliminary to pick another champion that will represent it other than Nigeria. Besides that, yes, actually it's not an NBA competition, so to speak, but NBA is a partner with FIBA. So, but the good thing there is that with the NBA's name attached to it, their awareness and their enthusiasm is very high. Everybody is looking BL. And I think it's an event that will really shoot basketball development to the next level.
That's Colonel Sam Amadou, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, Golden State Warriors owner Joe Jacob is showing his appreciation for Kevin Durant's contributions to the team by promising no other player will wear jersey number 35 as long as he's the team's chairman. Kevin Durant announced on Sunday he would be signing a multi-million dollar contract to join the Brooklyn Nets. In a statement, Jacob thanked Durant, the two-time NBA Finals Most Valuable Player who helped the Warriors win back-to-back championships in 2017 and 2018. In other Golden State news, All-Star guard Klay Thompson announced on social media he's staying put with the Warriors. Like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson is a free agent. He's expected to sign a 5-year maximum contract for $190 million with Golden State. Big money in the NBA free agent market. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports, @VOA Sunny Sports. I also encourage our VOA listeners to check out the IAAF website, IAAF.org. There's a nice article up at the IAAF page by IAAF writer Steve Landells. And Steve has written a story about Haile Bekele. Haile Bekele is 20 years old, and he is a rising athlete who shares the name of two Ethiopian running icons, Haile Gebrselassie and Kenenisa Bekele. Check out that story. And that wraps up the July 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the newly elected Nigerian United Nations General Assembly President pledges to focus on peace and prosperity for the most vulnerable. Nigeria at the helm of the UNGA on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
A pair of planetary scientists at the University of California, Santa Cruz, completed an analysis of metallic or M-type asteroids. Their findings led them to propose that some of the solar system's metallic asteroids may have had volcanoes that erupted with liquid iron after its crust had cooled and solidified shortly after their creation. The scientists say that these metallic asteroids were formed quite early in the solar system's history during the early stages of planet formation. It's thought that any serious collision between these developing planets would peel away their rocky outer layers, leaving behind its liquid iron core floating in space. The scientists say they were prompted to conduct their study in part by NASA's proposed 2022 launch of a probe that will investigate Psyche, the solar system's largest metallic asteroid. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Pelka.